You're tuning in to Two Nicoles One Podcast. Buckle up and eat your Wheaties, sweet cheeks. It's about to get good.
Welcome. This is episode 63 of Two Nicoles One Podcast. And we have Allie. Is it Cato or Cato?
Cato.
Cato. Allie Cato, and she is a nutritionist. Now, real quick, what is, because I know there's education behind that, because I know people, I feel like there's probably a lot of people that think a nutritionist is just maybe somebody who calls himself that, or maybe a doctor, or anywhere in between. So what is the background to get to where you are?
Sure. So I'm considered a nutritional therapy practitioner, and that is in the holistic nature of nutrition. Mm-hmm. So that came with 10 months of studies. And so what that means is we look at ways to heal our body. So we find deficiencies, maybe some intolerances, and then it's a very bio-individual approach.
Okay.
And all of my recommendations are for you specifically, not like the general public. So then it really makes it nice and focused on only one person.
Okay. And how is that different than like a dietitian?
So dietitians can treat, prescribe, and diagnose.
Okay.
Where I cannot do any of those three. I can just support through supplements, food recommendations, lifestyle changes, and stuff like that.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So they have that 4-year training. I think they do residency and that type of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think those are words that kind of get mixed up a lot and stuff like that. Kind of like, you know, like a PA and a nurse practitioner. And there's so many jobs out there that we don't know what they all are.
No.
Well, what got you into this line of work?
So I have, my background is actually in patisserie. So I was a pastry chef for 12 years.
Oh.
And then through my personal experience, I have 3 children. And, you know, the first child, the weight comes off easy, you're mm-hmm. back to normal. And then every child after gets harder and harder. So after my daughter, I found it was really difficult to just find who I was again and feeling my best.
Yeah.
And through just every avenue, I went to a dietitian. I tried a nutritionist who just gave me my macros.
Mm-hmm.
I tried diet pills where I had success, but through a diet pill, you don't learn new habits. So whenever I was done with it, everything came back on. And I kind of just fell into the hands of a nutritional therapy practitioner. And she basically taught me how to rebalance my body and find that like homeostasis that I needed. I wouldn't say that I dropped a ton of weight, but I found balance and I fell in love with the balance through food and taking that stress out of what am I going to have for this meal or what am I going to have to restrict on this diet? And when you can include all of those things while still feeling your best and getting rid of any type of symptom, I knew that I needed to like pay it forward and just fell in love with the idea of it, joined the school and graduated a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I think we've kind of all been, and not to be too invasive, but like about how old are you?
31.
So you're a little bit younger than Nicole and I, because I'm 33, Nicole's 34. Or, you know, give mm-hmm. we joke that I'm the old lady and Nicole's young, you know. But like when we were younger, a lot of, you know, the ideal body image, I guess, was like really thin, and it's changed through the years. So I feel like women of our age, we're all kind of familiar with, you know, starving yourself or, you know, really mm-hmm. limiting food. And now you hear more about like the macros. That mm-hmm. was newer to me within the last few years. And so you have personal experience as, I guess, I want to call it a consumer, but as the patient on the nutritional therapy side. How did that go for you? Like going from, you know, I'm guessing probably, because I know like we've both had prior experience, like, okay, I need to hurry up and I need to lose 10 pounds. So I'm just going to not, you eliminate things from your diet. You're either not going to eat something or you're going to exercise until you're sick. So how did that go? And I'm sure it was different then, but how was it different than your prior experiences?
So working with a nutritional therapy? Yeah. So it was very much like a holistic view is 80% of the time you're making good, healthy, nutrient-dense choices. And 20% of the time you're enjoying those foods that you love. Mm-hmm. So how do you work that in? Everyone's different. Some people might say 5 days a week, I'm going to do perfect. And then on the weekend, I'm going to have the beers and the sweets. And while still making healthy choices, we're just going to incorporate those. So for me, through trial and error, I found that if I wanted some chips with my salad or with a sandwich I was having, it worked better to enjoy them in that moment than restrict. And then I end up eating two massive bags of chips.
Yes.
So I found that balance of instead of restricting and binging, just eating it intuitively and enjoying it in the moment, I didn't feel like I was missing anything and I was still able to reduce inflammation, drop a couple of pounds by still including those instead of fully pulling it out. And that's just very personal. Some people work well with completely cutting it out and then still being able to just have a couple here and there instead of restricting aggressively and then binging. So, you know, that yo-yo, I was able to just include.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed like people with eating disorders? How does that, because I know a lot of people, like, I feel like what they call intuitive eating, you mentioned, that is more, I don't know if it's more of a buzzword or it's just become more popular. And I feel like it's become popular with people with eating disorders. Have you noticed that being hard for people? Because I feel like, I was never diagnosed with anything, so I don't know. But I mean, I've never actually seen somebody. I try to do like intuitive eating, but I feel like there's times when I tell myself, you know, I could look like one of those like really fit girls if I just lost that last 10, 15 pounds. But, you know, it's like I enjoy myself more if I eat the foods I like. So how do you, like, say if you've actually worked with somebody with an actual diagnosed eating disorder, how does that, is it really difficult for these people?
I would imagine so. I have not personally worked with anyone with an eating disorder, and technically it's out of the scope of practice, but if they're working with someone who specializes in eating disorders, I would be able to come on board and help with like meal plans and kind of stabilize their eating that way. But I'm not trained in eating disorders.
Okay.
But I could support someone on that journey if they were working with a specialist as well.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, that's obviously a lifelong struggle. But let's get into, you know, with the holidays coming up. I think we're in the middle of Hanukkah. Christmas is right around the corner. We just passed Thanksgiving. It's all going. And this is like, it's an easy time. It's a hard time. It's a crazy time. It's all the words. What do you have to say about the holidays? I know people feel shame. People feel excited. You have a lot of dinners you have to go to. Like, what do you do?
Well, I feel all of that very much. And I don't know who doesn't, but there's so many different ways you can approach it. I've talked to people who are like, I'm going to start in January and this is my last hurrah. I am working with a client who wanted to work through the holidays to kind of find that balance. So there's so many different like points of view, but regardless, there's always temptation and there's always stress. So some ways that I have personally found that work are Like, if you're going to go to a party, enjoy that party, but it doesn't have to consume your whole day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go and say, well, I'm going to indulge tonight. So there goes the day. I'm going to indulge in breakfast and lunch, because then that guilt that so many of us carry is already brought to that event that you're going to.
Yes.
So to avoid that, if you just eat normally and stick to whatever your routine looks like in the moment of that event, you're just enjoying yourself. Mm-hmm. So live in that moment and then continue on the next day. You know, if you ate one too many cookies, you don't have to punish yourself the next day by starting over or vigorously exercising to burn off whatever you ate. Continuing on is such a great mindset to be in, because then you're allowed to enjoy those moments more often. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's one way, is just eat normally, continue with your day, and enjoy the moment that you're living in. Also is like family traditions. So what is a family tradition in your holiday season? In that moment, enjoy it. Enjoy the pasta with the homemade pasta, the meatballs, the sauce, the brisket, whatever that looks like. Family tradition is so important and exciting. And it brings that, it sounds silly, but like our bodies, it brings that parasympathetic state, right?
Yeah.
So you're, what you're looking forward to, those endorphins are released. And those are something that just brings excitement and joy. So I always encourage, like, what was a family tradition that you had growing up or that you want to start? And then that's come the holiday season, that's something that you're always looking forward to. Something like, be the person who brings a healthy dish to the event, so that you know that there's definitely something there that you're going to enjoy. Eat before you go, so that maybe you're not so tempted to overindulge. Things like portion control, which I'm not like all about that around the holidays or like in certain events, but something to consider. It might resonate with someone. Just watch your portions. Or something like, make a new tradition of, there's all these staples. Like, I think of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And there's all these staples of like cream of chicken and all of these different dishes, like green beans. And you can start traditions on just choosing healthier options. You know, it doesn't have to be cream of chicken. It could just be green beans.
Yeah.
You know, like roasted green beans, or, you know, you could be the person that starts a new tradition and have people join in on your health journey, depending on where you are. Those are some big ones that I have found work for me. And just through different sources and talking with people, that's what has worked for other people as well. I don't know if you guys have any like questions or things that have worked for you that maybe I'm not thinking of, but those are kind of my staple suggestions.
Yeah. I like those. I like the, so there was one holiday that I decided not to eat any desserts. That was like the worst holiday ever. But I was, so like, I agree, like you have to like enjoy. So I remember like sitting there watching people eat pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving. And I was like, oh, that looks fun. But I like didn't eat it. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. So I agree. You definitely have to try to like enjoy those traditions too. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And you don't have to have the whole pie. You could just have a slice.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you're like, oh, I'm not going to have any. Then by the end of the night, you're eating everything. Or like a couple days later after you let it, you know, you're festering with it. Then you eat a pint of ice cream or something. You know, that's
right.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But it's funny, like you talk about new traditions. So last year with COVID, like with everything just being screwed up, Nicole hosted a different Thanksgiving.
I did.
With a couple... couple friends, and we had like a taco bar or just
that's awesome food.
I don't know how healthy it was, but it was just, it was different, you know. And I mean,
yeah,
you don't have to do like, oh, ham on Christmas. Like, it doesn't have to be the same. It's kind of, and it is good to keep traditions, but it's also kind of weird that, like, you force feed yourself certain stuff just because that's what your grandmother made, even though it makes you sick. You know, that it's stupid to think of some of the reasons we do some stuff, you know, but that's what we do.
Yeah. And you can take grandma's recipe and tweak it. You know, maybe you add in more vegetables or you substitute with something else. It doesn't have to be what it is, like margarine. You know, so many of our ancestors used margarine. We don't have to use that anymore. Even though it's still sold, there's always a substitute in replace of that that might not make us feel like as bloated or, you know, heavy after.
Yeah.
And something that I know, Nicole, like I tried to do, I guess more intuitive eating. I don't know if there's really a word for it, but just kind of eat whatever I'm hungry for. I know Nicole's more conscious of what she eats. She does like food prepping and stuff. And she doesn't really, I don't think, do any of the buzzy, you know, like keto. She doesn't do keto, anything like that. But like when people think of healthy, I think a lot of people think of the newest fad, like whether it was Atkins years ago or South Beach diet, or there's always a different one. How do you get people out of that like fad diet mindset to just like, oh, eat more vegetables and, you know, stuff like that?
Well, I think someone has to be ready for that change, to strip themselves of any label, right? Diet is consuming food, but it's kind of gotten like a bad rap and it's, how is it going to make me lose weight? But everyone consumes some type of diet every single day. So I feel like for me to take on a client, they have to just be open-minded, strip themselves of any title, and just learn to fuel their body to increase energy levels, sleep better, just generally feel better. And then when they start to feel better, then they crave that feeling. So it could just be something so simple as, you need more fat in your diet. And fat doesn't mean refined sugar and carbs. It means like avocado and salmon and oils, and choosing the right oils. So knowing that the plan is going to be solely based on that person, I would hope makes them feel good and knows that, well, this is really what's going to work for me and what's going to be sustainable in the future, not some crash diet plan.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just get on these fads and then they see some success, then they jump off them. Like I know a lot of people have done the keto diet and they're like, oh, super successful. And then you see them 2 months later after they've got off and they've gained all the weight back. And then they look at the next one. Is there another fad right now besides keto? I feel like keto is still really out there.
I don't know of anything else like that's in at the moment.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are doing like plant-based.
Yeah.
And there are definite benefits of that if you're doing it the right way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I even tried plant-based and I like gained weight because I was starving. I took that protein out of it. And if you're not supplementing properly, you're just going for anything that like doesn't have animal food in it, you know, and that's not always the healthiest option either. So you can find balance, I feel like, in any diet. It's just knowing and understanding how food affects your individual body.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem today is most of us don't understand that. We just look for a fad and go for it. So,
yeah. And something also is a lot of people think that they have to lose weight. Like who wouldn't be happy losing 10 or 15 pounds, you know, but you can also be healthy in your body right now. So like health and weight are not always the same goal and they're treated very differently. So that's something I like to keep in mind when talking to clients is your goal doesn't have to be to lose weight. It could just be to be healthy and love the skin that you're in.
Yeah.
I was thinking too, like, I'm sure there's other ones, but like MyFitnessPal, I know it's been around for forever. And like, it always like, I swear everybody's like, at least women, suggested calories are like 1,100 calories a day or something. But really, like, you should be eating like twice that, somewhere around twice that or whatever, more than mm-hmm. that. And I think a lot of people find that eating more, I mean, not necessarily like what Michael Phelps eats, but eating more than that, you end up losing more weight and you have so much more energy. And I don't know mm-hmm. if that is the reason, but, you know, especially the when we grew up and women older than us, I know, like, you know, our mother's generation and stuff like that, it was more about like eat less and less and less. And it's mm-hmm. crazy to hear, and you almost want to like dismiss it, that it's better to eat more and you end up losing weight eating more. Like, it doesn't yeah. even make sense.
Yeah, it does. And it's eating more of the right food.
Yes.
Right. And that's a huge thing. Like, if you're someone who has restricted and you have a piece of broccoli, a piece of chicken, and like a quarter of a sweet potato, going to a full sweet potato, a full serving of broccoli, and two chicken breasts, that's really intimidating and terrifying, mm-hmm. but that's good for you. And that's just the very basic, because that's always what people think like diet looks like. But five colors of the rainbow on your plate, if you can, is ideal. And I actually have, I can send it over in an email, what a plate should essentially look like. Mm-hmm. And it's full, you know, it's a full plate. You should not leave your meal hungry. You know, you should be satisfied for 3 to 4 hours, essentially. Whenever you're eating those nutrient dense foods, you can consume more with less calories, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say, my plate's usually not colorful like that.
It's hard to think of, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That is it's part of that is like being creative at a certain point, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. like buying, especially like if you don't live in a house with like a big family or something, you know, like mm-hmm. if you're buying produce, it goes bad. And so some of that, the sustainability of it can be hard. Mm-hmm. So like, how do you suggest people do that? Like somebody that lives alone, or if you're a couple or being on the go a lot, how do you do that?
So a lot of places now like have already prepared vegetables, which makes it easy to grab that. So you don't have to worry about like peeling and cutting if you're busy. Mm-hmm. And kind of meal planning. So I did a meal plan for a girl who was single. She lived on her own. And I worked it where what she had for dinner is what she had for lunch the next day. Okay. And so then at the end of the week, it was, let's say I gave her 4 or 5 days of dinners that turned into lunch. Then you have a fridge clean out and you have an extra day of meals as well. So you could kind of like throw everything together like a miscellaneous plate. Mm-hmm. If you had maybe like one serving of everything left, for instance, or you had raw vegetables that you hadn't cooked, throw everything in a soup. Yeah. Or like roast vegetables, or, you know, there's 1,000 different ways. But if you plan for like 4 to 5 days, that should get you 7 days worth of food. And it could just be picking, I'm going to have these two vegetables for a couple of days. And then next week I'm going to put them on a bed of salad. So right there you have three colors. And then next week I'm going to choose these couple of vegetables, and pretty soon everything becomes second nature. It's just retraining your brain and your mindset and building new habits.
That's yeah. interesting. Yeah. And that does like sound, when you say that sounds simple, but it's teaching yourself to actually do mm-hmm. that. Something like I personally have a question about, and mm-hmm. I don't know, cause I am goofy, and I had TV in my bedroom when I was little, and I started watching like Dr. 90210 and shows like that. And obviously the body, the ideal body type has changed. Nowadays, you know, the whole BBL phenomenon, have you run into young women who are like, hey, I want to flat stomach, but I need to gain weight in my butt? Have you ran into anything like that or seen things like that?
I haven't, but I think with time that will definitely come up. And if you want to lift your butt, I would say like do bar class. You know, they're always doing those pulses for like 20 minutes. That's like the natural way. But yeah, I'm anxious to see because it's everyone has a story, right? And everyone's life revolves around food. In the ideal world, I would love for that not to happen, but we're human beings and there's so much temptation around us that we have to learn to live with it within balance.
And you just wonder, because, you know, it was crazy to think like, oh, how could it get any worse? Everybody wants to be so thin. And now it's like thin stomach and big boobs and a big butt. And it's just crazy. And I you do hear like younger girls talking about like, oh, I want to make my butt bigger, but they're too young to get surgery or can't afford it. God forbid. Shouldn't, you know, everybody can do what they want to do, but a certain amount of it is just like, just get over it. But you know, people, and then some people don't really understand that, you know, you can't necessarily tell your body to gain weight where you want to. And, you know, you really wonder what all goes on out there. And, it is a shame because people do develop eating disorders around some of this stuff. Well, part of it you kind of laugh about because you're like, oh God, how are you going to do that? But it's a problem. It's a problem. Do you have children?
I have three.
Okay. Do you have any daughters?
I do. She's four.
So what would you suggest to like do or not to do around young women to kind of stray away from creating bad habits? Or in boys too.
Yeah. It's actually something that I stress about because I really try to include healthy eating and this is a great option and this is why, and be very clear on it. But if they come to me and they're like, can I have a piece of candy? Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's if they ask for a piece of candy before they've eaten breakfast, no. You know, you have to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner to be able to get those treats in between. Or if they come to me and or she comes to me and says, can I have a bag of chips? But she hasn't had any fruit. I will kind of redirect her to, here, let me cut up some grapes for you. And as soon as you're done with those, then you can have your bag of chips. So not only saying no if they've already had it, you know, and that's just them finding the balance. And they're really good at that. They know if they've had a bag of chips, they only get one a day. So they need to find something else to eat that maybe is a healthier option.
I like that. But I grew up and I feel like our generation, we had like moms that were, again, trying to make sure that they were the thinnest and on their diet fad. And mine particularly always was like that. So I always knew like these foods were no. And you never got an explanation why. We weren't allowed to eat those foods. These weren't in our house. And then like as an adult, I did find those foods and I was like, oh. And then I did years ago gain a lot of weight because I was able to eat all these foods that I never had before. So it is nice to hear like, we could try to break the cycle. And I think that's great doing what you're doing. So
yeah, absolutely. And you know, kids can be kids. This is my health journey that I choose to show up for every day. It's not theirs. So you have to like see everyone as an individual and kind of just meet them where they're at. And that comes with kids too. You know, kids need structure and balance, but it's also not stripping the childhood away from them. Because when they go to their friend's house, they're probably offered things.
Yeah.
So they have to know like boundaries, you know?
Yeah. I know too, like, because there were, you know, kids that were restricted from, and still, you know, nowadays kids restricted from certain things, but then there were kids too that grew up and were allowed to eat whatever. So now they're restricting their kids from everything. So it's almost like people do the opposite of how they were raised.
Yes.
I know like myself, we weren't necessarily like my mom didn't keep, you know, pop or soda, in the house generally, unless it was like a birthday, but you know, just hearing how she talked about herself was, you know, she's always calling herself fat. Am I fat? You know, you hear in these words. So I think you kind of look at your own experience too, and just like, well, I don't want to say those are bad words to say around kids because they think that everybody's fat, you know?
Yes.
If the mom's fat, we're all fat, you know? And it's, you need to kind of really be cognizant of what you do and say around kids and really teach them, I guess, that food is just something we do. It's not poison.
Yeah, we have to consume it to survive within a certain limit, right? But I've even like caught myself like pulling up my shirt and like, oh, does my stomach look flat today in front of my daughter? I'm like, who cares? Like, maybe I had too much Chinese food last night. Like, it doesn't matter. And she doesn't look at me like that. I'm, you know, I'm her mom. She's, if mom's happy, everyone's happy. So, but even, you know, around young boys too, because then maybe they have an expectation of what a girlfriend should look like or, you know, what their mom looks like, you know, and it's, they're very aware. So it's a practice for sure to not be so hard on yourself in front of young kids.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy. Kids are crazy.
Yes.
Where can our listeners find you? So you're located in the Pittsburgh area. Do you do online work or you're just all in?
Yep, online. Okay. And if you're more comfortable doing it on the phone, not face-to-face through a Zoom meeting, that's perfectly fine too. I am on social media. My handle is AC, Eat Well, Live Well. And I have a new website that I launched about 3 weeks ago where you can book a discovery call, which is a 30-minute either phone call or face-to-face Zoom meeting. We talk about your goals, how I can support you, what plan I think would work best for you, or what plan you think would work best for you, which would be a 6-week or a 12-week. And that my website is aceatwell.com. And there's lots of a couple blog posts, a little bit more about me and my story. And yeah, you're able to get a hold of me there.
Right. That is awesome. Well, is there anything you want to add at the end here?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm here for you. Yeah. I'm accepting clients in January 2022. And on. So feel free to reach out even through Instagram. Any questions, concerns, feedback, anything like that.
And that's almost here. So it's almost 2022. Well, thank you for joining us. Thanks. So, and good luck with the launch.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're glad to have you on because this is it's a crazy topic.
It is.
All that goes with it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to come on again with other questions.
Absolutely.
It sparks some.
Of course.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye.